EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, good.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is
such.
Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome everyone to the show. Wherever in the world you are listening from tonight, our first guest is Kelly from the state of Georgia, with a sighting of a very large triangle-shaped object that passed over her car that left her wondering if there was a connection with the paranormal activity in her house that followed. Then we move on to Richard from Dublin, Ireland. His experience occurred in Italy, where he was living at the time, and it was a series of encounters that happened over a two-week period around a mountain called Monte Morello, known for its UFO activity, and an unusual sighting of a USO on a Pisa beach. Now, before we hear from Kelly and Richard, I'm looking for your paranormal experiences for the upcoming Halloween special. You can email me at the usual address, ufochronicles@gmail.com, or via our website, ufochroniclespodcast.com, and that's via the contact page. And while you're there, check out our previous episodes, merchandise, and our podcast competition. And finally, a big thank you to everyone that has left their reviews of the show on Apple Podcasts. These reviews are very important and it makes the show more discoverable to future listeners and guests. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on today. Now, you come to us from Georgia.
That's correct. The United States.
Excellent. You were joining us because of your UFO and paranormal experiences that have a possible connection?
Yes. I had a sighting about 10 years ago. I was about 23 when it happened, and since then, everything's just been different for me.
Okay. Would you like to start with that one for us, please, Kelly?
So I was leaving my boyfriend's house at the time, to go get us some dinner. I was going to pick us up something to eat, and he has a very large neighborhood, so it takes a minute to get out of there. And, I was driving through the neighborhood and I had my windows open and my sunroof open in my Jeep. It was a nice, cool night. And, I started slowing the Jeep down because for some reason, something didn't feel right. I can't really explain it. I noticed that everything around me was extremely quiet. Like, if you live in Georgia, you would know that there's tons of insects we have out here. There's tons of nightlife, night noises that you hear. And everything was completely silent. And it just, it made me feel creepy. I can't really explain it. So I slowed the Jeep down and I looked up. I just kind of like glanced up through my sunroof and I saw this like massive object. It was so huge, like the scale, the size of it was so huge. Like, I can't even explain the fear that I felt in my stomach when I looked up and saw this thing. And it just glided slowly over like the rooftops in the neighborhood above the streetlights. Like, it was that close and it just slowly went over. And it looked like it was gray, like dark gray in color, just from the streetlights looking up. It had like three small lights on each end. It looked like a triangle-shaped kind of craft. And it had a light on each end of the triangle. They were kind of dim. They weren't like real bright. A lot of people talk about really bright lights in the sky, but I didn't see anything bright. It was just dim. But they were dim, like white circular lights. I could see like it was some kind of detail on the bottom, and the best I can describe it is it looked like the bottom of your shoe or like the tread on a tire. I'm not really sure if it was some kind of writing, but it looked just like some kind of indentions on the bottom of it, is the best way I can describe it. And it just slowly went over and it was completely silent. It didn't make a noise. I don't even remember feeling any wind. I didn't hear any insects. It just went slowly over and it just kind of glided away. It didn't go away quickly. Like a lot of people, I've heard stories, people talking about how quick the craft are. And this one just kind of glided off and it was almost like it just kind of disappeared. Like you didn't see it continuously get further away like you do airplanes at night. Just kind of slowly kept going, and then it just like faded into like nothing, almost like it just kind of disappeared. And it was terrifying and I didn't know what to do, and I kept driving. Like, I started to speed up in the neighborhood and then I slowed down, not really sure what I had seen. I went to pick up our food and I felt extremely weirded out at the restaurant, like looking around at everybody. I was like, okay, no one knows what I just saw. This is insane. No one would believe me. I didn't even know if I was going to tell my boyfriend when I got back to the house. But that was my first experience.
When you said, when you say massive, how massive do you think it was?
Well, I saw the front of it. I saw the front windshield, and it was over like three houses down from me. The tip of it that I saw, and then the back of it was back over my Jeep. I could see through the sunroof. And I mean, it was, I think that was the scariest part when I think about it, is that I think it's just because it was so quiet that you could literally just probably be walking at night, and this, something like this could be, you know, a foot above your head and you wouldn't even know it unless you happen to just glance up. Like, that's terrifying to think that. You know, if you hear a car coming, you're like, oh, I better move out of the way. But it's like something that massive that is that quiet. It's terrifying. Like, I don't see how something like that exists.
And was that the first time you'd ever seen anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I had never even seen, you know, a small UFO far away. Like people say, they see the lights in the sky and they're zipping around and all that kind of stuff. I had seen footage of people that have reported those things, and I thought, oh, that's cool, maybe I'll see one day. But like something like that, it just changed everything for me. And like, it was hard to sleep for like a few days after that, just because I was laying at night thinking about, if that is out there and this thing is that huge, that powerful, like this kind of technology is out there, what else exists? Like, I didn't even know what was possible or what was real anymore.
And did you tell anyone about this after?
I told my boyfriend at the time when I got home, but I just kind of set the food down at the table and just kind of stared. I guess I was still kind of in shock about what I saw. And he kind of like asked me if I was okay. And it took me a few minutes and I finally just kind of told him what I saw. And he didn't really know what to think. But, you know, being his girlfriend, I guess he... entertained it and, you know, just said, well, I'm sure you saw something. But he didn't, I don't think he understood the seriousness of kind of how it affected me and the truth of what I saw.
Then this started off some other experiences as well.
Oh, yeah. It's just been like a book since then. It's just been a lot of paranormal activity kind of things. And I've seen some shows on TV about, I think they have shows called Ghost Hunter or something like that. And, you know, chasing after spirits, things like that. But to me, it almost felt like certain things were all kind of connected because I didn't experience any kind of paranormal type activity till I saw that thing, that big craft that night. And so I was starting to think, well, everything's been kind of different since then. So, you know, I've just been diving into all different kinds of research and since then, just trying to figure out what everything is, what everything, where everything comes from.
And is it things that have actually been happening in your house?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My old house, I've seen objects move by themselves, that have been near me. Just lots of, like weird lights throughout the house, different kinds of lights, just strange, it's just been insane. I've had all sorts of, weird dreams. Since then, the dreams have never stopped. And my husband's experienced a lot of the paranormal activity as well. And, he's been frightened by it, at least one time. A little while after that experience, my ex-boyfriend at the time, I guess you would call it a possession. That's the only thing that I know to call it, just from researching. And I started having these dreams. Like it was like 3 months prior to him actually becoming possessed. I had dreams of possessions, of people being possessed. And I was going from like town to town or whatever and basically trying to exorcise demons. And that was what all these dreams were. And then, so when I saw what happened to him, it was almost like I knew exactly what it was. Like, I don't know if my brain had been, getting me ready for that kind of a moment for something like that to happen. But, that is also one of the scariest things I've ever experienced in my life. I will never watch movies about, possession, hauntings, anything like that, because the way they do it on film is so extremely close to exactly what you see in real life when it happens. And just watching those films makes you relive it. And it's just, it's terrifying. That stuff is real. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's real. It happens. And I witnessed it.
And what was the outcome of it?
I ended up calling my family over as well for help, that night. And it was about, 8 hours of the whole situation before it was finally all over with. And it was an insane night. I saw things that night that I've never seen before, just human strength and someone having multiple voices coming out of their body at once. It's insane. I should probably write a book. The first big time I talked about it like this, I've only had a few really close friends. And of course the people that were there that night that, that I've discussed this with, but.
Well, you know, you're being listened to by, thousands of like-minded people.
That is reassuring.
Which, you know, a lot of time it does help people when they hear others that have probably experienced the same.
Yeah, I agree. Well, hopefully I'll have someone out there that kind of had a similar circumstance and maybe it'll help them somehow that you're not alone.
Absolutely. And you're not crazy.
Well, I appreciate that. I felt like that sometimes.
You know, because people do have some very strange experiences, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do. And a lot of people, they hang on to these events and incidents and that for 40, 50 odd years, not even telling their close family or friends.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I usually just journal about it the majority of the time now. I don't really talk about it much. I just kind of write it down to kind of get it out somehow. And there's only like a few select people I normally talk to about it.
You know, so a lot of times what you're dealing with is not almost stuff, really. It's not everyday things.
Yeah, I can't message my friend and be like, hey, so this thing just flew across the room by itself. last night, my husband saw an orb in the bedroom and we saw someone walk through our house that doesn't exist. Like you can't just tell people stuff like that.
No, that's true. But again, you know, it's relatively common. You know, people do have things in their house and they don't usually tell people. You know, having lived in haunted houses in the past and know exactly what it's like.
I think it follows me, I guess, a little bit, because I thought maybe it was our old house and once we moved out, it would be better, but it's still here at this home too. And so I don't know. I've heard things can follow you. I'm not really sure where the phenomenon comes from. I don't know if it's related to, you know, the craft or aliens or something, or if it's ghosts. I don't know how everything's connected, but I know it's connected somehow.
Very possibly. I mean, a lot of these times, I call it like a paranormal bubble, where you have an experience with one thing, and then everything around you turns kind of weird. You know, you start having weird meetings with weird chance meetings with people, and things would happen that wouldn't normally happen. You know, strange coincidences, everything. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure there is. It may not be directly connected with probably what the craft you saw, but the whole puts you in a kind of like a paranormal bubble.
Yeah, they said one man that told me after the possession had happened that night, he said that, these things won't forget who you are and they'll always kind of know you and they're always going to try to come back, or you're going to be more prone to experiencing things. And he wasn't wrong. So I don't know if this is just something that I have to kind of keep at bay and get used to and just kind of cope with it in a positive way. I'm not sure.
Sure. I mean, that's the best way, deal with it in a positive way. Because these kind of things do prey on you when you're at your lowest, you know, when you're the most susceptible.
Yes, that's what I've heard as well. Mm-hmm. I've just been a mad woman Googling and buying books and researching all these different things, trying to find a connection to it all. It's insane. It's very interesting, but it's frustrating. Every time it feels like you find an answer, you have a million more questions.
Well, you know, that's Google. That's like everything on Google. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today, Kelly.
All right. Well, thanks. It was nice talking to you. Thanks for letting me get it off my chest in real life.
Well, that's what the show's for.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment. The Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Let's talk about face masks for a moment. There are good, well-meaning people out there with mental or medical conditions that make wearing a face mask very difficult, if not impossible. I'm aware of people who have been verbally attacked and ridiculed for not wearing a mask. That's just not right. For those of you who live in America, there are laws in place that protect those with physical or mental conditions. This is where MedCards.net comes in. MedCards.net provide medical alert cards, which display information that clearly indicates complications to wearing a face mask, along with information regarding the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1986, which makes it illegal for discrimination to occur due to such conditions. The cards are available in medical red or medical green, complete with a medical lanyard to be worn around the neck. The lanyard features a breakaway closure that prevents choking in case of an accident. Don't fear going out in public any longer. If you or someone you know has a mental or physical condition that prevents you from wearing a mask, go to MedCards.net and order your cards today. Cards are shipped the next business day at no cost. Shipping is included in the price. That's right, all cards are shipped free of charge and include a medical lanyard in your choice of color at no extra cost. So head over to MedCards.net now, and if you use the coupon code UFO, you will save an extra 10%. That is UFO to save an extra 10%. Don't wait, visit MedCards.net and get your card while they're in stock, and tell them Nick sent you. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on today. It's great to have you join us. And you're calling from Ireland today.
Yes, I'm calling from Dublin, and thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
And you had a series of encounters that happened to you over the course of 2 weeks in Italy?
Indeed. So I moved to Italy when I was younger in 2003. And I lived there for 15 years in Tuscany, near the city of Pisa. And when I've had a couple of different experiences. I think this was about 2012, 2013, I was with my best friend. We were just at a band rehearsal because we used to play in a band. We'd just gotten out. It was about, I would say, about 10 p.m. We were driving back home, and I could just see at the left of my window, I could see this light that seemed to be following us as we drive. Because, you know, when you're like looking outside and you see a star or you see Jupiter, it just kind of stays in the same place, obviously, while you're driving. Whereas this seemed to be parallel with us. So he was driving the car and I was looking out the window. And I was just like, what is this? So I asked him to pull over. So he pulled over in a petrol station. We both got out of the car, and we tried to take videos. Obviously, this was 8 years ago, so we had really bad phone cameras. But this ball of light had literally just stopped about, I don't know, 150, 200 meters in front of us over this kind of field that was just across from the petrol station. And in the beginning, we were just like, what is that? Is it, you know, a plane that's just, you know, kind of looking at us like in our direction, and it's just the headlights or something? But then we saw the clouds from behind it. Basically, instead of covering it, they went behind it. So we could see that it was right there and it wasn't in the sky, but it was actually just like hovering over the ground. So we kind of lost it. And I started screaming. I was like, oh, my God, like, what is this? So when the clouds kind of moved, another two lights basically appeared. So there was three in total that were kind of in this like triangle shape. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, what is this? And I'd seen loads of things before, those lights, but always stuff that I could always be like, okay, that could have been a plane, it could have been a helicopter, it could have been whatever. But this was just so close, and the light was so bright and white, and like there was no noise. It was just these three lights that were just there, and it started slowly moving away. So we got back in the car, drove around the petrol station, back around the roundabout, and went back the way from where we were coming, because it seemed to go back that way. And as we were driving, it just kind of accelerated, kept on going up, and then just disappeared into the sky. And we just looked at each other, and we were gobsmacked, and we're like, okay, what just happened? Because we just couldn't believe it, because it was just so, like those things you see in the movies, that it was just like right in front of us, and we were like, oh my God, like, what is this? Again, like, no sound, no air, no, like, nothing to like say that it was there except for the lights. Then my second experience was roughly in the same place. So this place in Italy is called Monte Morello, which is a mountain, Morello Mountain, basically. So it's, if anybody, you know, watches like MotoGP or they're racing there in Formula One on Sunday, the Mugello racetrack is basically right in the middle of that mountain. But there's been a history over years of UFO sightings there that I didn't know about until years later when I looked it up, and there was stuff even in the newspaper about lights over the mountain and stuff like that. And there's a US Air Force base only about, I don't know, about 50 miles away in Pisa. But this was years later. It was only actually a couple of years ago. It would have been about 2018, maybe 2017. It was me and my friend. We were in his house. He lives up like in the mountain, up in Monte Morello. And we were just outside looking at the stars. It's completely like pitch black up there, so you can see everything. The moon was out, and we were just talking, listening to music out on like the terrace. And we're just laughing, talking, and I just see this one light kind of moving. And again, like, I've seen loads of satellites and stuff like that, so sometimes I'm just like, oh, maybe it's just a satellite. It was moving in a pretty like straight kind of direction, so I didn't really think too much of it. And then another, like, a second light appears, and it was almost identical to what had happened years before, but it was much further away. Obviously, it was in the sky, but it was one, and then the second one appeared. And when the second one appeared, I like turned to my friend. I was like, do you see that? And so he started looking at it as well. And then the third light appeared, and I literally, my eyes like started watering. I got really emotional. I was like, oh my God. Cause it literally passed in front of the moon, and you could see through it. like you could see the three lights, but you could see that they like literally passed in front of the moon. And so like I again like had goosebumps, and this is a friend of mine who never believed me. Like I've told him all the times I've seen stuff, and he's like, yeah, sure he did, and this and that and the other. But trust me, he believed me, because he he was actually kind of scared. Like he was just like, he had never experienced anything like that, so he just kind of he was just frozen. He was like, oh, I can't believe we saw that. And then in the same order that they appeared, they disappeared, but like while they were still moving from right to left. So that was also very strange. And again, it was basically in the exact same place. It could have been, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles apart. The first place was in Campi, which is basically just down the mountain. And then Monte Morello is just up the mountain. So it's still the same mountain, just the top and bottom of it. And then my craziest encounter that I've ever had, and I still to this day can't wrap my head around it because it was just so crazy, is we were at the beach in a place called Tirrenia, which is basically Pisa beach, because Pisa is a city and it has various beaches. One of the places called Tirrenia, we were all there kind of on a sleepover. They do this thing once a year where everybody just gets a tent and we all go sleep on the beach basically. So there was like hundreds of people there, and me and my friend of mine, we were walking back to our tent, and we were just walking down like on the water, because obviously the whole beach was full of tents, so we didn't want to walk through all the tents and stuff like that. So we were walking on the water, and I like looked into the water, and like in the beginning I thought it was two people wearing, I don't know if you know those like glasses that have the lights around them, but it was like they were wearing those glasses with the lights around them, and they were kissing each other. That, like, just out of my eye, that's what it looked like to me. And I looked over and I was like, that's weird. Why are two people, like, with these glasses on in the middle of, like, the sea? Like, it wasn't even far away. It would have been about, I don't know, 20 meters away. So I, like, told my friend, I was like, hey, look at them. Like, what's up with them? And so we kind of stopped and looked at it. And it was just so weird. It was this ball, basically, like, the size of, I don't know, like, a basketball. But it was completely see-through. It was like it was made out of glass. And it had like two hemispheres to it. And one side of it went one way and the other side turned the other way. And it was like they were mirrors, but there was also like a light inside that, as these kind of mirrors turned, basically just like changed color. But the weirdest thing is that it wasn't moving up and down with the waves. The waves weren't breaking on it. It wasn't interacting with the water whatsoever. It was perfectly still. So I could see the waves go up and down, but it was like it was on a stick or something. But even with the waves that would like go over it, they wouldn't like splash on it. It was just sitting there perfectly still. And we were just looking at it being like, what is this? What is this? So like, I was kind of scared to get closer because it was pretty close. But I was like, okay. So we started like very slowly getting close to it, trying to be like, what could this possibly be? Because the only like logical explanation that we could think of was it had to be, you know, some really, really expensive, I don't know, like disco light intended for, I don't know, like a huge gig. Cause it was like a really bright multicolored, like, dancing light that just looked so weird, and we just couldn't, but we were like, why is it in the ocean? What's it attached to? Whose is it? There's nobody around. Like, there was obviously all the people on the beach in the tents, but like there was nobody in the water. And so we kind of like tippy toed ever closer to it, just because we were kind of scared. And it's almost as if it noticed us, because it just kind of like turned us like a tiny bit towards us, and then it like really slowly started to back up, like out towards sea, like towards the ocean. And we kind of like stopped and we were like, did that just move? And so then we got really scared. So we like backed up even, like we backed up again instead of getting closer. But it's still backed up. But again, it was just so weird because it didn't interact with the water at all. Didn't bobble, like it wasn't floating on the water. It didn't sink. Like when the waves went over it, they didn't crash over it. It's like they went through it. It was the most surreal thing I've ever seen. And again, it was definitely a solid object. It wasn't something under the water, like a light under the water. It was over it. We could see it perfectly, like right there. But it just slowly like went back further out towards the sea. Again, like it knew that we were looking at it. And then it stopped, and I was there for about 20 minutes. It stopped about, I don't know, like a good 50 meters out and just stayed there. And we just kept on looking at it, being like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? And again, well, I was kind of scared. I was like, I don't know if I want to, like, go see what this thing is. Because, like, looking back now, I would have, because I'm sure it would have been exciting. But I was just like, I'm not going to see what that is. So after about 20 minutes of it just sitting there, like looking at it from about 50 meters away, we're just like, okay, let's just go, because this is freaking me out now. And so we went back to the tent and we told our friends about it. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And we went back, and sure enough, it wasn't there anymore. But it was the most crazy experience I've ever had. I can still see it perfectly in my brain. Like, I know saying that a beach ball cut into two hemispheres with mirrors that are rotating doesn't make a lot of sense, and you can't really imagine it in your head, but it was incredible. It was the most insane thing I've ever seen. And like the colors as well were like such a vivid red and blue and green that it really felt like a disco ball, but a brand new disco ball that had lasers coming out of it, like, which, again, I don't see why it would be floating in the middle of the sea. But
so was it actually submerged in the water?
Well, that's the thing, is that it wasn't in or out. It was like it was just kind of like it was just floating there. And so even when the water, like, because I could see the water rise and fall, like, as the waves came in and out. But they didn't, like, you know, the way if there was like a person there, the waves would go around the person. They kind of make a wake. That didn't happen at all. It just came over it. Like, it would have been about 10 o'clock. It was dark. It wasn't pitch black by any means, because I remember that the moon was out. And in Italy, like, the sun doesn't go down until about 9:30. So it was still dusk. So there was still a bit of light. But I could see the surface of the water, because I could see the light reflecting on it. I could see it perfectly. And it was just this thing that was just there. And it just stayed perfectly still. So it wasn't like floating, because it would have went up and down with the waves, but it wasn't like underneath with the waves going over it. It was halfway in and halfway out. But then, like, when the waves went back, it was completely, like, you could see the whole thing. And then when the waves came in, it only covered half of it. But when it went back, like, it was like it was just floating there. There was nothing underneath it. It was just this ball that was there, and then the water would kind of come back in and it would cover it halfway, and then it would go back out. And it was just like, it was so surreal.
What kind of size would you say it was?
I'd say it was about a bit bigger than like a basketball. So it would have been like about a meter, like in diameter, I'd say. Maybe a bit more, but it wasn't that big. It wasn't like a huge, you know, vessel. Also because like it was only about, like I said, it was only about 20 meters out, so it would have been like at waist height in the actual water, so it wouldn't have had a lot of space underneath it either. But it was just this big weird glass mirror light ball that was like spinning and with all these different colors, and like it was just funny because I remember, because we were walking by it and it just caught my eye because it was just so weird. It was just like, why are there lights in the sea? Why are there these little like spinning lights? And again, like my first reaction was that it was these like two people that were swimming that had these like light up masks or light up glasses on. But then obviously after looking at it, like we could see that they weren't people. Like there was nobody there, because we even in the beginning we were like, hello, and like nobody was there. So, but then when we got closer, we could see that it was just this ball, and that the two what looked like glasses were like these two sides of this ball that were spinning in opposite directions.
An unidentified submerged object, a USO.
Indeed, yeah. And that's the thing, is that it was weird because it wasn't even submerged. It was halfway submerged, but it was halfway out. But the weirdest thing about it, well, obviously the fact that it was, you know, lights and everything, but the weirdest thing about it is that it seemed completely like impervious to everything that happened around it. So the water, the wind, it was perfectly still. It didn't move at all. It didn't go up, didn't go down. The only time it moved is when it like backed away from us. And like when we started getting closer, it's kind of like, imagine the middle of it that divides it. The middle kind of turned about 5 degrees to face us a bit more. And then it started moving back.
Be interesting to know if anyone else had a sighting around off, was it Pisa Beach?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the place is called Tidorania, so Tidorenia. And again, like we're talking about 20 minutes from Camp Derby, which is the U.S. military base. But again, it just nothing about it made any sense whatsoever. if that makes sense, it was just my brain just couldn't understand, like, why is this ball of light in the water and it's not moving and the waves aren't doing anything and it's not going up and down. It's not floating, but it's not sinking. It's just there. I have absolutely no explanation for it.
Absolutely fascinating and unexplained.
Yeah, very much. Because again, like I try to be as skeptic as possible, and a lot of times I'll see, you know, like I was saying, I've since moved back to Ireland, but even here I've seen a couple of lights that have been, you know, really bright white lights that have been going across the sky. But I even try to be like, okay, that I can't say that it is a UFO because, you know, it's going in a straight line. It hasn't changed acceleration, hasn't changed course. It's not going in a zigzag. So even how strange it may look, I always kind of try and take it, you know, with a pinch of salt. But that was undeniable, the most strangest, unexplainable thing that I've ever seen. And I still, like, when I think about it, my head hurts because just trying to, like, imagine it, my brain is just like, what? Like, it just can't comprehend, like, what it saw.
I guess your friend was exactly the same.
Yeah, and it was actually funny because he was one of those people, like my other friend who I'd seen years ago, who, like, completely didn't believe. And, like, obviously when it started moving, like, we were like, okay, this is, like, really weird. And I was kind of, like, you know, freaked out about it, but I was kind of, you know, laughing about it and, like, just being like, okay, that's a bit weird, let's not go closer. Where his face just turned to, like, pure terror. He was just like, let's leave, like, right now, because I'm scared. And, like, we were both, you know, in our 20s, like, we weren't kids, like, we were old enough, we weren't, you know, scared of, you know, a little thing in the water. But the fact that, like, two grown men were like, okay, let's not go near this because it's weird and we couldn't explain it, and, like, we felt that getting closer to it was hazardous, you know, that really, like, and that really sit with him. Like, even to this day, I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago about the exact thing. And he was just like, every time I tell people, they, you know, they think I'm crazy because it just, first of all, it's so hard to explain to people what we saw because it was so strange that it's not just like saying, oh, I saw, you know, a ring of lights in the sky or a triangle or whatever. Like, it's, you have to go into detail and tell them that it was this spinning ball of lights or whatever in the water and how it moved. But he's like, I'm just so grateful that I was with you, and that, so I know I'm not absolutely insane, because we both saw the exact same thing.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
Absolutely interesting and a very unique sighting as well. What was your belief system in this kind of subject before your experience?
I've kind of gone up and down in this kind of roller coaster of being very gullible and believing a lot when I was younger, and then just kind of going through this phase of like, okay, it's all fake, and then kind of, you know, really kind of digging deep before I'd believe something. The first experience that I had with the light that followed us and we got out at the petrol station and everything like that was a couple of years before, and that had already kind of convinced me to a point where I was like, okay, that was definitely something weird. But, like, years had gone by, so I didn't really think about it anymore. I wasn't, like, a big kind of UFO buffer, and again, this was like 6 or 7 years ago, so I wasn't huge into it and like that. But again, like, this was just one night that, you know, it was just us and our friends at this party. Like, it was the last thing that we were expecting. And again, being with one of my friends who would have been like the last person who, if I had went back to the tent, if I was by myself and I went back to the tent and told him, he absolutely would not have believed me. But the fact that he was there and like was like, you saw that, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, you saw that, didn't you? And he was like, yeah, okay, what like the hell just happened? And like, again, like just the fear in his eyes when we saw it move and just him, his voice just go like, let's please leave right now. And like, he's 3 years older than me as well. Like, and like I look up to him as well. Like, I'm kind of a scaredy cat in situations like that. Like, if you tell me to go into a haunted house, I'd be like, yeah, no. But he definitely, both of us definitely got this kind of sense of, okay, this is definitely something that's not normal, that we've never seen before, and that we're obviously just not used to seeing or supposed to see or whatever.
And of course, you're from a country that has so many interesting myths and legends.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And again, like, because I was raised here in Ireland, and you know, we have all of our pagan gods. For example, the Silver Arm is a really famous story, a Celtic story about these visitors who came from the skies and all the things. So I've definitely gotten into history and like mythology and theology for a lot of cultures, not just Irish. My dad was born in Egypt, so I've been to the pyramids, I've seen them, and just kind of stood there and in awe of just how amazingly insane it is. So over the years, I have definitely leaned towards the side of believing, but I still do try to kind of leave that as like the last possible explanation and just kind of literally go through everything in the book to be like, okay, could it be this? Could it be this? Possibly. Okay. And even if it's a possibly, I kind of try and throw it to the side, but because I have seen loads of stuff, loads more things, but again, not to the point where I could be 100% sure that that was a UFO or a USO.
And you also got plans on starting your own podcast.
Well, yeah, me and my brother are actually trying to get a podcast started just to kind of talk about all these topics, well, and more, just basically to kind of inform people and just to tell people, you know, facts about things, and then just kind of make up their own idea from there. Whenever I tell people about my experience or about my beliefs, I never try and convince anybody. I just kind of try and tell them, well, these are the facts, and, you know, this is what makes the most sense to me. And a lot of people, after you kind of give them the talk and show them, you know, the stuff, they're kind of like, okay, that actually does make a lot of sense. And he lives in America. He lives in Washington State now, in a place called Spokane. But he used to live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And when I went over for his wedding, we went to Roswell and like we camped out and looked and nothing happened. Bit disappointing, but it was still a great time. But we just kind of want to, yeah, start a podcast and just kind of talk about everything that people don't want to talk about because they feel like it would, you know, they'd get ridiculed for it or they'd be frowned upon or they, you know, be made fun of. Just kind of like an open space where people can just be like, yeah, I saw Bigfoot or whatever. Like, we're open to everything. And then obviously I know a lot of people are going to be trolling and, you know, kind of making stuff up. But hopefully we can get, you know, general people who want to talk about stuff that they can't usually just, you know, tell their friends without looking crazy.
That's great. Look forward to that. Just avoid politics.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to do that. Politics is never a good road to talk about unless you want a lot of drama. Which we don't.
Exactly. Well, let us know when you've got it all set up and I'll put a link to it in the show notes of this episode below.
Thank you very much. That'd be great.
I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your experiences in Italy.
Thanks very much. It was great coming on. It was great talking to someone about it because I have talked to a lot of people about it, but it's great to, you know, talk to someone where, you know, a lot of people can hear this and maybe be like, oh, that's kind of what happened to me as well. And hopefully they can come forward too as well and share their experiences. Without, you know, feeling afraid or anything like that. I think everybody should, you know, be open to say their story without any kind of backlash or ridicule.
Exactly. It'd be great to get some more accounts from Italy as well, not just in the same area, but all over, really. But yeah, that'd be great.
I've heard of, like, from different people that of different stuff happening around Italy, so I don't know, maybe I could talk to some people, see if they have anything to say worthwhile.
They are always welcome on this show.
Great. thank you very much. It was great. Really, I appreciate it.
Great talking to you, man. You enjoy the rest of your day. All right.
Thanks, man. You too.
That is all we have for you today. Don't forget to get those paranormal encounters for the Halloween special in at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Big thank you to our guests, Kelly and Richard, and to medcard.net for sponsoring the show. And thank you for listening. I will be back next week with more encounters. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.